Well, good morning, and God bless each of you as we begin this new week. I do apologize for my weak voice this morning, but it is better than it was yesterday. Hopefully, it's more of a problem for me than it is for you, but we'll see what the Lord can work in our lives today. Back in about 1996, 97, something like that, my life started to cross over with some inmates and has been involved with that almost ever since that. In 2002, became more personally involved with inmates and ex-inmates in the prison. 2008, we started a city mission. Our fellowship started a city mission, and Martha and I moved to the city, and we dealt on a daily basis with alcoholics, with those that had addictions with heroin and cocaine and gambling and all kinds of things. There was some that we related to that had problems with stealing, lying, all kinds of things, just wicked people, and trying to help them. Where does it come from? Matthew 15:19 says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, and thefts. It's a heart problem that these people have. I've titled this talk this morning, Understanding the Criminal Mind. In relating to these people on a personal level and having them in our home, sometimes even overnight. If you have a man in your home overnight that has been in prison for 20 years and you don't know what for, do you sleep well that night? We did. God changes hearts. And we trusted that that man's heart was changed. We had other people in our home with all of these problems. Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to read 5 verses here. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is a darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They eat and drink wickedness. They even dream wickedness. Wickedness is in their hearts. And wickedness is what they think of subconsciously. And when they are conscious, they think of these things and they know how to do them. Some of them know how to do these things and get away with it, and others don't. And they wind up in prison. Of course, nobody gets away with sin. I'm going to look at 3 criminals in the Bible here this morning. The first criminal that is recorded in the Bible, that goes back to Genesis chapter 4. Verses 1-8, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bore again Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought forth the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Where did it start? It started with a jealous thought, and it led to murder. His jealous thought is that I'm not being treated fairly. I'm being untreated fairly. God is not being fair with me. If I don't stand up for myself, who will? There are those in the city where we lived that thought, I can't even trust the police. The police are against me. The children that we dealt with thought that the police were awful people. You don't want to know a policeman. You don't want to be friendly to a policeman. The policeman is the man who took my father and my mother and put them in jail. Police are bad people. And if you are friendly with the policeman, you must be a bad person too. It is true that there are policemen that are corrupt, but I believe that most of them are not. His jealous thought led to resentful attitude, brooding, anger, bitterness. In verse 5, Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. He must have looked awful sour. I don't know, but I imagine he had a scowl on his face wherever he went. He was angry. He was bitter. And he devised a plan. I'll get fair treatment. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what I have to do. And he rose up against his brother and slew him. He killed him. Criminals today, I'll get fair treatment. I'll get other supporters. I'll join a gang, and we will eliminate the rivals. We'll work together on it. We'll get rid of them. And they mark all over the city. You'll see different graffiti identifying which territory this gang controls and which territory that gang controls. If you're a member of one gang, you don't go into the other gang's territory. It's not safe for you. They'll get rid of you. It started with thoughts. It went to attitudes. And finally, it went to deeds. And he killed his brother. Anger is a terrible master. People have made fools of themselves with their anger. I know a man that said that his neighbor had a lawnmower that wouldn't start. And he was there, and he was pulling the rope, and pulling the rope, and pulling the rope. And the mower didn't start. And finally, the neighbor became so angry, he took the lawnmower by the handle, and he bounced it up and down and up and down and up and down. And then he pulled the cord a couple more times. It still didn't start. And he pushed it down the yard. It went down towards the road, and there was a ditch there. And it went like this in the ditch. And he said, I was naughty. He said, I was behind the drapes and I was laughing. He made a fool of himself. After a while, his neighbor went back out. And he said, here we go again. This is the second show. He pulled the rope and it started. He said, I was a little disappointed, yet I was glad for him. Anger makes a fool out of a person. There are those that, when they become angry, they want to hit something. Maybe they'll take an iron pipe and they'll beat a 5-gallon bucket that it flies all over the place. Well, that's one stage. If that angry spirit is not dealt with, what it can go to is that the next thing that gets beaten is the car windows of the person they're angry at. And eventually, the iron pipe strikes the person. It starts at one thing and goes up to another. I don't know if Cain beat a bucket around or not, but he got to the place where he slew his brother. Have you ever been angry like that? Have you ever had a jealous thought? Have you ever been resentful? Have you ever pitied yourself? If your answer is yes to any of those questions, then you should understand the criminal mind, because your mind was like that of a criminal. The second criminal I'd like to look at is in Luke chapter 10. This is actually a gang of them, a group of them. They joined together and they beat the man and robbed him on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. Luke 10, we often talk about the Good Samaritan and what he did for this man who was robbed. But these thieves, they were a gang of them, and they stripped this man of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. What was their mentality? Well, first of all, this man had something that they didn't have, something that they wanted. Maybe they had the victim-loser mentality. I'll never get ahead in life. I will never have opportunity to have the things that this man has by legal means. I'm disadvantaged. So I need to do what I need to do so that I can have what I want. Something necessary is being withheld from me. And that's what Eve thought. Carla was a shoplifter that we dealt with. Carla was in jail several times for shoplifting. And she said, "I do it innocently. I don't know when it happens," she said. "I go into the store and I come out with stuff that I didn't pay for. And when did I pick that up?" And she said, "I don't even remember it." She said, "It's just so much a part of me that I shoplift and don't know it, and then I wind up in jail." I don't know if she was telling us the truth or not, but shoplifting was a habit that she had. I'm locked into a no-win situation. I can't win. I need to break the law. I need to do something so that I can provide for myself and for my family. One lady that we dealt with, she was in prison. We didn't deal with her out after she was out of prison, but in prison. And she said, "I was a drug dealer," but she said, "I was a godly one." Really? Explain that. She said, "I was living in a car with my 3 children, and they were hungry, and they needed food. And the only way that I knew that I could get food for them is if I sold some drugs." And so she said, "I did that, and I got caught." And she said, "I'm in jail because I was doing something godly in providing for my family." What a twisted mentality that she had. The other inmates told her, "You were not godly, you were ungodly," as a drug dealer. She declared she was doing something godly in providing for her family, her children. I'm a victim of circumstances. It's a family tradition. It's what we do. John was a man that said that his father taught him that when you go to buy something somewhere, that you always take something along that you didn't buy. Businesses figure it into their prices that 3 to 5% of their merchandise is going to be shoplifted. And so to get your money's worth for what you're buying, you need to shoplift, you need to pick stuff up. If you go to a welding shop and they weld something up for you, you need to take a screwdriver or some welding rods or something along, because they have it figured into their prices that, and so you're not getting your money's worth unless you take something that you didn't buy. It's a family tradition. It's what my father did. It's what my grandfather did. And it's what I do. It's a twisted mentality. It's a thought. It's an attitude. Me first. I will break free of the economic restraints. I saw many robberies on television. I know how it's done. I know how the police work. I read books. I watched television. I know how to do it and not get caught. I'm tough. I'm smart. Nobody can stop me. And why don't they stop? This was a gang of robbers. If one of them wanted to stop robbing people, if he would have had pity on this man going from Jerusalem to Jericho and say, I'm not going along on that one, the rest of the gang might have done away with him because he knew too much of their activities. And that's what happens with those who join the gangs. They're afraid to leave the gangs because the gang will get rid of them because they know too much. Fear of leaving the gang, the peer pressure, the deeds. I'll make some advantaged person yield some of his advantage. That's you. Did you ever cheat on your time card? Did you ever cheat in school? Did you ever take advantage of somebody for financial gain? Probably most of you didn't. But if you did, then you should understand the criminal mind, because that's how it works. It's just on a larger scale. Criminal number 3 is in Judges chapter 15. I don't want you to be insulted that you get the idea that I think I'm talking to a bunch of criminals here this morning. But I'm just trying to help you to understand the mind of a criminal and how it works. Judges 15, 1-5, and it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I've early thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands, and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between the two tails. When he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn and the vineyards and olives. Samson was an arsonist. So we had a murderer, we had the robber, and here is an arsonist. Samson thought, I am denied my rights. The wrong people are in control. The decisions are wrong. The laws are wrong, a criminal thinks. We shouldn't have these laws. The laws are repressive. We shouldn't be restrained by these things. My family, my friends, our gang is threatened or discriminated against, we'll do what we have to do to get our rights. The other cultural group is mistreating me or is mistreating us. The thoughts develop into attitudes, malicious attitudes. I'll get my rights one way or another. I will cost those people more than they are costing me. I will retaliate. I'll make them wish that they hadn't fooled around with me. They're going to be sorry for what they did. I'll get my rights one way or another. It leads to this, to the attitudes lead to deeds. Devise a plan. Samson had a plan, catch foxes. He could do it. Tie their tails together and put a fire between them. He was strong. He could do it. Apparently he was a good trapper. And I'll perform it with a vengeance. I'll let those foxes go in the wheat field. And he did it. I'll be happier if I take matters into my own hands. We were out in the hinterlands in Guatemala, long ways from any police. And I said, what about law enforcement out here? Oh, we have law enforcement. If anybody steals, the neighbors will kill them. Even if it's one of their family, they'll get rid of them because they don't want a thief around here. I said, things are pretty secure out here. I wasn't so sure. But you know, there are lots and lots of people who will take the law into their own hands. They'll administer justice whether they have the authority to do it or not. Have you ever retaliated against anybody? Maybe you say, well, I never set a fire. Okay, let's look at it this way. You're at the supper table, and somebody puts their finger in their glass of water and goes like that. What happens next? If you're at home, it probably wouldn't happen here, but if you're at home, what happens is you take your water glass and you get them, right? After a while, you're outside with buckets and then with garden hoses. And it's all in fun, maybe, maybe not. But if you understand how retaliation works, that's why God wants us to practice non-resistance, because we don't know when to stop. And so he says, don't start. No retaliation. If you understand retaliation, you understand the mind of a criminal. What should we do? We should take the light of truth to them. That's what they need. Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Why is there criminals in our land today? Because there is no truth in the land. But we have it. We ought to share it with them. There's no mercy in the land, but we should show them mercy. May God help you to deal with the worst of the worst and the lowest of the lowest as you have opportunity, and to help them to know what a Christian life is. There'll be a prayer. Let's stand for prayer. Our Father in heaven, We pray for the children of this land who are being taught wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, and wrong deeds by their parents. Help us to show them that there is a different kind of life. There is life in Jesus, a life of morality, a life of truthfulness, a life of mercy and surrender and love. Help us to shine the light to them that they can see Jesus and come to him. Help us in our studies this week that we would learn what you have for us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.